You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Didn't really understand today's segment before we started.
No, never a good sign. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, heroes here. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. And yes, today's segment, I'm excited to have the conversation about Spicy V Frisky, as teased on the flagship show on Sunday night. Mark did address me privately in the newsroom.
Oh, wow.
Curious slash apprehensive about
what the segment was about, how long
it would be. And I said, just let it flow through you, bro.
Sometimes you got to let the segment have a free-flowing conversation.
When I hear free, like when Greg says free-flowing conversation, I know what that means.
What does it mean?
It's a little spicy.
First of all, this is the wrong way for you to start the episode.
Why?
Because
this is being open with the audience.
Because what happens when a segment goes totally south and just lands like a hot air balloon filled with rocks on a countryside?
We ignore it.
You'll get texts saying sort of after, you guys, I don't really think that you understood what was going on there. We've got to be a little more focused. So I'll go out of my way and say, what was your thought for this? Because there's no lead up to it. And then you turn around and say, like, oh, you're overly concerned about the segment. You're not free-flowing enough. I'll be as free-flowing as you could possibly imagine.
Well, we got this mark today. I like it.
It is just simply twist and bend into the narrative that fits your life view.
Wait a second. Pump the brakes. I'm just saying you came to me and said you had questions about how the segment was going to go, and I said, let it flow through you.
I'm going to start recording our conversations.
I think that's the next step.
I am absolutely excited about what's occurring.
I mean, I think that's the next step in our relationship, is only having conversations that are recorded. Most of them on the podcast, but even outside the podcast, record them.
I think it makes a ton of sense at this stage.
And also, Mark, don't get mad at me.
Of course not.
Because you have a different battlefront to deal with, and it's a different colleague of ours. If you remember Sunday's show, after a Browns highlight, you had some things to say. Well, someone else had some things to say back. Let's listen in.
What is happening?
And man, DJ, you want to talk about the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, professional DJ.
I mean, DJ worked for the Browns and it didn't go great from what I recall. So maybe there's a little... I mean, he moved on to the Ravens, which is a more successful... Right.
Daddy's got a scratch.
Well, yeah.
Just laughing at them. So.
Wow. Sessler, really, after I've spared you from all of our heat. First of all, so many things wrong with this whole thing, okay? First of all, I was with the Browns for 2 years, one of which was a 10-win season, which I don't know if Sessler's familiar, having been a fan of that team for a long time. Those don't come around very often. So that was the first year. The next year, 4-12 were gone. I came to the Browns from the Ravens, so he's got his timeline all screwed up. I mean, Buck, I felt like he's the most knowledgeable of the Around the NFL guys. I feel like he's the most respectable. And the sad thing is, even as ridiculous as this is, he doesn't lose his standing because that's just how bad the rest of the group is. So, you know, just disappointing all the way around from Sessler.
Not one to let facts get in the way of a good story.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Let's
move on. If we have any other clips from
some more respected podcasts,
maybe if Bonetta has something to say, let's run that in the future. Let's just keep the Around the NFL stuff off here. This is a respectable program. I don't want to sully it with those guys.
By the way, they don't even send that podcast out anymore. He just comes in here and they do it because it's part of the contract. The mics aren't on anymore, but we caught that with some parabolic microphones. Yes, Mark, your response.
I can't stay out of these quasi feuds, but that was not what I was aiming for there. But
you took a shot at him. It felt like you were showing a little bit of your Browns fandom too. You were upset in that moment.
Well, I know because the only clip that I have from that moment in their excellent broadcast, I'd imagine otherwise, was just giggling at the way the game ended. I didn't hear words. I just heard giggling.
You didn't like that.
You were offended by that? By Cade York missing another kick to the right?
I wouldn't say offended because I haven't thought about it since I made that comment. But I would say for someone that is respected, the acumen is so high as DJ's that he professionally made the decision I assumed he went from the Browns to the Ravens because he was becoming more intelligent.
Right.
He went from the Ravens to the Browns.
Right.
During that era?
Some type of disconnect mentally.
I'm asking a second question now.
Right. So,
spicy.
Think about that.
If you're spicy, you're just spicy. Spicy food stays spicy for the most part.
Yes. We'll leave it there. Good response, though.
But I will table my
issues
with you because that does me no favors to continue down that path.
Well, I didn't think that I had done anything wrong, but I wanted
of course you didn't.
To redirect it for sure at someone else.
Sure. That's a well-weathered strategy.
You want to redirect that sassy energy elsewhere. So, yes, we will be hitting frisky or spicy in the NFL as we enter week 6. And, of course, the Thursday night football preview, which I know we're all pinching ourselves. Primetime Washington at Chicago. But before we do any of that, let us hit the news.
Do you follow the Eagles at all, Paul?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, you guys are the number one, the only undefeated team, of course.
Way to reel it back, Paul. Way to reel it back. Not the number one.
You can't be as excited.
Just 4-0.
Not the number one. The number one according to Dan Hansis power rankings today.
And the Eagles are no longer number one in the power rankings. That was from that Kelsey Brothers podcast. And you could check out my thoughts and Steve Weish's thoughts, who filled in for a under-the-weather Connie Wolf. That's why she's not on today's show. On the power rankings podcast. Man, Rudd is plugged in. Rudd is plugged in on the power rankings.
I was so confused about what was happening in that drop until the very end, and then I should have known. It's Paul Rudd giving his boy Dan some pop.
Right. Justin maybe could have used some video there to give the context that was necessary, but, you know, Justin, that's okay, buddy. It happens.
Kelsey Brothers.
Dan Hansis, shout out.
We're all good now. Matt Rhule is out in Carolina, as we kind of predicted on the Sunday night show. After a 1-4 start to the 2022 season, the Panthers fired Rhule on Monday. The team announced defensive passing game coordinator / secondary coach Steve Wilks takes over as interim coach. Of course, Wilks had spent one season as head coach of the Cardinals before getting whacked there. Some might say unfairly so. David Tepper is the owner of the Panthers, and David Tepper is sick of losing and sick of the team that he bought for billions not being relevant. He was asked by a reporter what constitutes success for the Panthers moving forward.
Now, you've mentioned the phrase getting over the hump several times. What does that look like to you?
And it's winning.
Duh, winning.
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 Can you quantify that as far as the number of wins? Is it a Super Bowl appearance? Is it going to the playoffs?
Winning more this year than you did last year. Have the appearance of winning more than you did last year. Looking like you're going to win more than you did last year. You know, by that definition, you know, I don't think we're over the hump.
The Tiger blood explanation from Tepper, who also noted that, Greg, part of the reason why he decided to make the move now, he didn't feel the team was competitive and the effort was where it needed to be in a blowout loss to the Niners. And he saw too many damn people wearing red in his stadium, the colors of the 49ers, Matt Rhule, history in the NFL.
Yeah, quite a boring 2+ years as head coach. Like, I thought they actually had some things going schematically as an offense that first year that got you thinking, okay, like, there might be something here with the way he coaches up offense, but it really went into a shell the last year and a half. I mean, it was tough to watch. As the defense got better, the offense got worse. He didn't really seem to have a problem connecting with his players. That wasn't it. It was just like such a blah hire ultimately. People wanted Matt Rhule and David Tepper. You know, they sort of talked about like he won the battle for Matt Rhule, but it ended up like that was not a battle that you wanted to win.
And Matt Rhule came in with the Temple and Baylor rebuilding scenarios that maybe Tepper thought when they really connected. I mean, there were these long features about how Tepper and Rhule had this great connection when they met, and it was just like he was like, I'm going to get my guy.
I'm sure they did.
Well, no, but so all these stories seem to start that way, right? Only these great meetings behind closed doors. I saw the real guy, the real coach. And I think Matt Rhule is a personable guy. I mean, from what we know, he's been on our show. He seemed like a good dude.
You're a big Rhule guy.
I was, but I'm not saying I'm not. It's just that I think it's a lesson in the – it's another example of high-fluting college coach learns that the NFL is a completely different job. And also, it's an impossible job when your quarterback play gets worse and worse. And I know they tried to court Matthew Stafford. That didn't work. They thought about Deshaun Watson. That didn't happen. I mean, I guess had you gotten Stafford, you'd be in a better position. I'm not sure they would be with the way this team's built in general, just with the way the franchise is. You cannot survive into year three with the quarterback play they've had. And Tepper, I think, is going to learn because his first move.
That was all his decisions.
Well, they tried to get guys, they couldn't get them.
Darnold and Baker were plan Bs.
Right.
So, I don't know. Mark, finish your point, because then I want to say one other thing.
Tepper watching that press conference right there, I've been attached as a fan to a team with some ownership issues. And the first thing he did was give Rhule a $62 million 7-year deal that agitated the rest of the owners. And now when I hear him talking, now he's got to talk football and explain what he's looking for. I think you learn as an owner that it's not easy just because you were a billionaire hedge fund guy or whatever it is you did somewhere else. This is a completely different type of job, and it takes a lot of misses sometimes to get it right. And this was a big miss.
It was a big miss. I mean, the results are the results. I think there is some – I guess this could come off as a defensive bit of Rhule, but there's, to me, some chicken or egg stuff going on here because – if you don't have a quarterback, and not only are they not, I know we had Teddy and we've had those conversations in year one, Greg, but
they were an average offense and like one of the worst defenses in the league year one.
So average offense, and we've talked about their defense did get better under his tenure, but the offense cratered when Sam Darnold was brought in and played poorly, then got injured. Then you go in and you bring in Baker, and Baker stinks too. And it's like, yeah, maybe Matt Rhule can't coach at this level, or maybe he was just in a terrible situation. And this is what happens when you have bad quarterbacks.
Of his own devising, though. What Tepper said, I think that was telling in the press conference, was he wanted the balance between coach and GM to be more evenly balanced in the future. Rhule did whatever he wanted. That was the thing. He gave Teddy a contract guaranteeing him 2 years that when no one else was going to give him that amount of money to do it, and then decided to just eat the second year out of nowhere, and then gave Darnold a contract and trade they gave him an extension. Years guaranteed.
My goodness.
And so like he was doing things that no one was making him do, and he was ultimately in charge of personnel. You got the feeling they still haven't fired Scott Fitter. They said that's our GM right now, but he might not be in the future.
And kiss of death right there.
Tepper's made some pretty big mistakes. I mean, he is in litigation because of a half-built practice facility in South Carolina that's literally there and is abandoned, and they're having, you know, a big problem with the state of South Carolina right now. And they still don't have an indoor practice facility, which almost every NFL team has. So he's come up against some things, and I never like when you hear, like, we want to do the opposite this time around. You know what I mean?
That's what
like,
I mean about the ownership
that
thing.
That worries me.
You hopscotch every 2 years between. And Dan, to your thing, you're right. Like, you could defend Rhule because he didn't have a quarterback. But the ultimate lesson for anyone taking one of these jobs is if you don't have a quarterback by year three, you're out.
Right.
Right.
You
need it. You need it, and they never got it. And the draft, even with some misfortune with this past draft class, there wasn't a setup well for them to go get somebody. Then he could tie himself to a young quarterback that maybe would have bought him more time. It just wasn't happening.
Well, part of it was Stafford and Deshaun Watson didn't want to play there.
Right.
You know, Stafford made it pretty clear he did not want to be on the Panthers, according to reports.
And he made the right decision because now he has a Super Bowl ring in Los Angeles. By the way, that half-built facility in South Carolina, that's pretty symbolic for where they're at as an organization right now.
Yeah, and probably also has squatters living plans, in at this point, don't you think?
Big plans. There's big money behind it somewhere, but all of a sudden there's a stall right now, and it's just like, what is happening?
You feel a little for Steve Wilkes, who had a great run as defensive coordinator in Carolina. I don't know if you guys remember that, like 5 years ago or so, taking over a situation that just feels like you're kind of wasting your time for the next 13
Yeah, stopgap scenario.
In other news, NFL referee Carl Cheffers explained himself, or attempted to, the shocking call on Monday Night Football in which Derek Carr gets taken down on a sack by Chris Jones, who yanks the ball out, falls down because where else is he going to go? And they throw the flag and the crowd in Arrowhead, and good job by them. I really enjoyed the way the Kansas City home crowd really gave it to the officials for like 10 straight minutes.
Yeah. He was shaky. Did you see that clip of him announcing a call a little bit later? And he was shaken, I think,
right,
because of the crowd reaction and because of Andy Reid yelling at him. For
well, that doesn't feel good as a human.
So you have that situation, and it's obviously a lot of conversation right now around the protection of the quarterback, the Tua situation obviously in play, but this has been going on for years now, where we've talked about the personal fouls and the hits of the quarterback. There was a report I saw this morning that the NFL is going to re-examine the situation. Should this be something that you can challenge or take a look at before you decide to make game-altering calls? The Chiefs, they won, even though they were on the wrong side of that call. The Falcons on Sunday, they lost, and maybe because of Grady Jarrett getting called with another bogus penalty on a sack of Tom Brady on third down late in their loss to Tampa Bay. Brady was on the his Let's Go podcast. Let's listen in.
A lot of talk today, a lot of conspiracy theories.
Oh, man.
Was it roughing the passer?
Jim Gray. He's funny.
It was a long hug, a long unwelcomed hug from Grady, and he was in the backfield all day. So, as I said after the games, I don't throw flags, and what I do throw is tablets. And I didn't have one accessible at that time.
Gray's so. Laugh.
He had a hell of a game. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
Greg, that's your free-flowing conversation. Right,
that's
there.
Pretty good.
That was good. It's also, I believe, at halftime of the Monday Night Football games, or maybe in the pregame. So people should check that out too.
Oh, there you go. you know, I have a little bit of an issue with Brady on this. He's 45. He is really the face of the NFL. He's arguably the most famous NFL player who's ever lived. Just like in terms of like the game. Like, just come out and say it. Like, yeah, that, you know, that call went for us, and it helped my team win a game. But obviously that might be something we want to look at, because Grady Jarrett and the Falcons are fighting hard and made a big play there. And maybe we should make sure we're getting a play like that right. Why is he playing the cute, winky, you know, grab butt with Jim Gray card there?
Oh, and by the way, he's signed a massive...
You never want to play the grab butt with Jim Gray card.
He's signed a massive broadcasting deal. So you'd like to think that he'd have some critical thought already about things like this and give us a fair take, but
well,
no.
I just don't like that he has these pre-written lines that I suspect he didn't write. Like, I feel like his social media crew, you know, like he came in. That was a pre-written
the
bit.
Tablet banger there?
He knew the question was coming. And,
it's because they were going to bang.
The tablet bit and the long hug. The long hug thing was...
Greg's Patriots fandom is just simply about 4,000 miles
in
the rearview mirror
at this point. I am a Tom Brady fan, and I'm a Bucs fan on some level. I'm rooting for him to play well, but the way he handled this, you know, it's not a big deal to me, but it's not great. I just don't know what the NFL's going to do. These calls are going to happen, and you could change the rule about the... landing on the quarterback, potentially, like the full body weight, and that's what was called here. In theory, they could pull back. They almost never pull back on these safety rules, because I think the full body weight part of the rule is extremely difficult to officiate. Basically impossible.
It's nebulous.
It is. But the, like, terrible calls like this are going to happen. So the only question is whether you can have someone as the extra official who's already there, and they're already making some changes from New York and from the stadium, the Sky Judge, where things get changed and nothing was challenged and they're changed quickly. And they're like, oh, actually, we fixed something. Can something like this be
yes.
fixed? Because
Yes.
Because officials are going to make mistakes. It's impossible. Like, Patrick, the thing that bothers me is people get so mad at the officials. And, like, Patrick Mahomes makes big mistakes every game. These officials, it's impossible. We've been on the sidelines for games. You can't get it right. Like, they're not going to get it right, like, that consistently. It's impossible.
It's late. I'm with you 100%. Like, I don't think it should be ref must get it perfectly right or all of Arrowhead Stadium is ready to verbally lash him. It's like, make it reviewable. Right. It's just simply that simple.
Quickly. You don't need to stop down the game. You don't have to worry about pace of play. Have New York look at it and buzz down and be like, no, we're not going to go. We're picking up the flag. That's it. Why is that so hard? And hopefully these two incidents happening over 24 hours is the impetus, but you know what it probably will be. And this is annoying, but this is the way the league works. We see it all the time. It's going to take some team getting robbed in the playoffs and ending their Lombardi dreams for something to happen, because it feels like only way rule changes happen now is when some team gets ripped off in January.
Well, then they can, a month later, go to the little competition committee and slap each other on the back and announce a rule change.
We think that'd be a quick one, but that play last night, I think, had enough weird things going on with, you know, the ball coming out was part of it too. And they even answered after the game that it was the full body weight thing. And he did seem to put his arm down, which is what they're looking for. But I've read the rule. There's no like exact right answer. And we'd like to think that common sense, they would have fixed that call immediately. But that felt like it could have been a 4-minute thing.
I like Joe Buck's comment on it. About Chris Jones. Is he supposed to disappear? That's exactly what he's supposed to do to not get a flag. So that seems dumb, and they should change it. What else was dumb on Monday night? Davante Adams, super frustrated, and we get it. And you could hear the Monday Night Football recap Greggy put out for Around the NFL of the Raiders' 30-29 loss to the Chiefs.
What a game. One of the games of the year.
Amazing game. It kind of made up for the Thursday night game, which opened week five in horrific form, and then we got a great close at the end on the back end there. But anyway, Adams, after he has a rightfully overturned reception that would have maybe won the game for the Raiders with their kicker in automatic mode overturned, then he runs into Hunter Renfro on the final route on 4th-and-1, and then the game's over. So he's hot, he's furious, he's upset. Some random cameraman walks in front of him in front of the tunnel, and he shoves him to the ground and just walks away. It's caught on cameras. He's getting killed on social media, and he did reach out. Well, I don't know if he reached out to the guy, but it's a freelance worker for ESPN's Monday Night Football. He tweeted almost immediately trying to get his arms around it. Sorry to that dude. And then he, at his locker, discussed it as well. But just not a great look, Mark, for Adams, who just looked basically like a bully. That's bully behavior right there.
Yeah, because the size differential and everything else, and you're a giant football player in pads. This is essentially a media individual. I mean, it's emotional. It's going on. We don't know what's inside his head. For me, it's like you apologize. You settle it somewhere if you need to.
Ideally in
dust
person.
Dust in the wind.
Or on the phone or on face. Not just like send something on Twitter. I hope the guy sees this. Bro, you kind of – that was a bad job. Just connect with the guy.
It was not a great job.
And move forward.
I think the fact that he shoved him while he's holding all this equipment, and then he just walks right past him after shoving it to the ground. That was the part of the thing where I think he could face discipline if he had sort of realized what he did in the moment and then like helped the guy up or whatever.
Bad luck.
It's like one of Dan's Irish goodbyes out of the cozy inn.
Exactly. And by the way, there was an incident report that was filed, and I just liked the wording in it because it was bully behavior, and he pushed the dude down, but it wasn't vicious. It wasn't like, oh my God, is that guy going to be okay? Here is the language in the incident report. The victim made arrangements for private transport to the hospital for treatment, at which time he called police. The injuries are preliminarily thought to be non-life threatening. Okay, let's calm down. Let's not get too litigious here.
We don't know, Dan.
Crappy moment.
We don't know what. We don't know the condition of his body.
All right, let's pause right here and take a break. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
In other news, Ron Rivera stepped in it on Monday. You know, the Commanders are 1-4 heading into Thursday Night Football. All the other teams in the NFC East are balling out. 5-0 Eagles, Cowboys and Giants 4-1. So he's facing some heat, and rightfully so, for the Commanders not doing much. And when he was asked about the difference between Washington and the rest of the thriving NFC East, like I said, Ron Rivera stepped in it.
Why do you think the teams in the division are farther ahead at this point?
Quarterback. The truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
You know, Quarter Zip Nation is not feeling good about that because Ron Rivera is wearing a really like nice cashmere maroon quarter zip. I call it a three-quarter zip. With a button down underneath it, and he looks like a art museum curator, and he just buries his quarterback. So tough moment for Quarter Zip Nation.
He tugged down Tugboat.
Tugged me down hard.
You might have to say he's wearing a three-quarter zip. He doesn't deserve the quarter.
Distance myself from it. Yeah.
There was some extra context to that. He like praised Carson Wentz at one point in those answers, and he was trying to. And he apologized to today, saying he doesn't want to be a distraction, and he created distraction.
He spoke with Carson privately.
Right, by that the way he clumsily answered. But part of the problem was his answer made no sense because the way he was trying to answer it was saying that the continuity that they've had at quarterback in their systems is what led them to greater success. Okay, we have Daniel Jones
quarterback
in his third system. He just started his new system 5 weeks ago, same time as Carson Wentz. And Scott Turner, by the way, has been there a while, the offensive coordinator for Washington. And Dallas is 4-1 with a backup quarterback. So
the logic doesn't hold.
It never made any sense.
And I don't know what it is, or maybe I kind of do, but you know, you can't really put your finger on it because you're not in the buildings, but. Carson Wentz will just, wherever he goes, he's going to take fire. And sometimes faster than you realize. In Indy, it was by the end of the season. Here, it's by, you know, not even Halloween. He's getting kind of like roped into these type of conversations.
I thought Ron Rivera
was... Commanders in Washington, D.C., in the Pentagon.
He was pointing more at himself, actually, because I can't think of a, you know, old school veteran coach around the league that seems to verbally... care less about going and getting that young quarterback. If anything, it's I want Alex Smith. I want, you know, fill in the blank low level guy that we.
They wanted Stafford too. No, Stafford wanted no piece of that.
But like we just talked about, what happens to coaches that do this?
Well, I think this is an example of Ron not listening to his quarterback, because if he had listened to what Carson Wentz said back in July, he might have acted a little differently.
As we all know, decided to really go ahead and start to take command.
He didn't take command. Rivera has not taken command.
No, he has not. And he could find himself not commanding a roster too much longer if things don't change.
We're getting close.
For Washington. Mm. In other news, speaking of stepped in it, Keenan Allen at the end of the Chargers game, and I know you guys were a little softer on Brandon Staley in the aftermath of this than I was, but I was not into him going for it on 4th-and-2 in his own territory, up 2 points in that situation. And Keenan Allen was in agreement. He was inactive with a hamstring injury, and he tweeted, WTF are we doing? And then he deleted that tweet, but then he had a follow-up tweet in which he was like, you know, something along the lines of, oh, I have it right here. So glad he missed that. Because man. So he's calling out his coach for not knowing what he's doing.
Never do the follow-up tweet. If you if you delete it, just go ghost.
Right.
Go silent. Go offline for 2 days.
And if you're following what's going on and hearing the whispers and the reporting around the Chargers, it doesn't seem like Brandon Staley has great command of this locker room. Keenan Allen is a highly respected veteran. Staley addressed the Twitter snafu this week.
Keenan's heart is with me, is with us, and you know, to me, I have understanding of where he was at in that moment because he's not with his team. They're in the fire. That's a money down that he's used to being out there, which makes it a lot better for us. And it's just part of sports. And, you know, we're going to become closer because of it. We already became closer this morning because of it. And we're going to keep it moving to Denver.
Speaking of guys in trouble.
Wait, what have you – what you said there were reports that he doesn't have command of the locker room? Where is that?
I'm not saying he's getting ready to take command. There are some reports out there. I've seen them. I'll have to surface them
specifics.
For you.
I want specifics. I didn't know that.
But that things weren't so hot in Chargers land. Did you see those reports, Mark Sessler?
There were whispers. I remember talking it was a couple weeks ago that there was stuff bubbling up that maybe, you know – last year at this
isn't
time,
it nice when we got something on Greggy? Greg's like, oh, I got the pulse.
Well,
of the whole
league. Greg, you'd have something if you actually gave the report.
Yeah,
that would
just
be the response.
You set the table for a report.
I got the pulse. Just wait. I wasn't ready to cite sources here because you're ambushing me in the middle of the podcast. But trust
that's
me,
not an ambush.
There was something out there that I will find.
It was news to me that he's taken some heat, and it doesn't surprise me though, because there's probably a lot of people.
Oh, it does surprise you because you didn't know about it, and Zeuser did.
Look,
check mark.
I used to know a guy who would talk about being the ATN insider.
Baby.
That he would not only double source it, he would triple source it, and now he's doing the. You know, he's fallen hard.
I told you, see.
Let's see. He's hitting. Greg likes to be like, oh, nothing can hurt me. Nothing. I deflect all. But that one got him deep. That was a knife into the ribs.
No, it's more if you come after me, you know, and more importantly, journalistically, if you're going to come after Brandon Staley, you got to back it up with some facts.
Yeah, you're right, Greg.
Dan Hansis, shout out.
Thank you, Paul Rudd. You nailed this one, Greg. You got me.
You do it, you know, it's like the...
I love this.
It's like the Stephen A. Smith thing. Oh, reports, you know.
Okay.
Watch out.
All right.
Watch out, Staley. Watch your back.
Just
that was
give me a
parallel.
Minute. Just give me a minute. I will dig this up, and maybe my producer, Justin, can help out as well, because we need to get the sourcing right for Greg to admit he just got. You got in the NFL news business.
We'll see. We'll see.
Aren't we a little surprised that Keenan Allen wouldn't be completely and intimately familiar with the way this team operates on fourth down? He's been in probably 100 meetings where Staley said, this is what we do in these situations. He's not a sports reporter from like Eyewitness News that's just discovering this.
I think it goes to Dan's point that when he was upset with the going for the fourth down, players are the same as fans, are the same as journalists. They've seen football operated in a certain way forever.
Yeah.
And they've just accepted that that's the right way to do things. And anyone, whether you like it or not, who's going to go against that, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like it, including
I
in your own locker room.
I'm saying that he's been closer to a team that operates this way than 99.9% of players, coaches, or the rest of the earth.
It's fair.
I mean, this is what the Chargers did all last year. They're doing it again.
All right. I think that's everything in the news. Yes, that's what's happening in the news. Are we taking a break here, Justin? Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're back. All right, I have surfaced some of the
reporting out there. There was a bad loss to the Jaguars in week three in which only two team captains were available to speak to the media, yes. Herbert and Eckert. None of the defensive captains spoke with the media, and apparently they left the stadium very quickly. A former Charger scout had tweeted out that he was hearing some rumblings from inside the building that the players were not buying into the coaching staff's messaging. Ooh. And then to follow it up.
So wait, a fired scout, Brentley Weissman, sent one tweet out? We're going with that as a story? I'm not accepting that. As
and
a
then
story.
Keenan Allen took to Twitter just this week. I don't know if you heard. Oh, we talked about it. Yeah. And openly called out his head coach's decision making. So that's where we're at.
There's layers to this, and you're uncovering.
We
the
haven't
layers.
We haven't gone full reporting yet, but we do have a fired former scout who said he heard some rumblings.
Mm.
Well,
I'm just saying that context is important. It wasn't like Ian Rappaport.
Do you get the feeling that things are hunky dory there, or it's probably more likely that Allen, in concert with some of this reporting / whispers, might speak to a disconnect?
I guess it hadn't occurred to me that they have like locker room problems yet.
Mm. What about after this reporting? Does it occur to you now?
Brentley Weissman doesn't do enough for me.
Why are you against Brentley Weissman so much? He could be a man of absurd integrity.
Right, but he was literally fired by the team.
Yeah, but
what are the circumstances behind his dismissal?
Sure. We'll have to find out. He also worked for the Patriots, Raiders, Oregon, and UCLA.
Hey.
As always, # go Ducks.
Let's check in on something else before we get to the TNF preview. We know, obviously, what's going on with certain people having guys. This is Mark Needs a Guy. Update!
All right.
Yes, Mark Needs a Guy.
It's a feisty show.
If you're just tuning in, the following players are not an option. Talanoa Hufanga, safety, San Francisco.
Don't need him.
Tariq Woolen, cornerback, Seattle. Jack Jones, cornerback, New England. So those are the three players off the board as Mark continues his quest for a guy.
What's the sound you're making, Greg?
I'm just laughing.
Any developments, Mark, since Sunday night, as you've had a chance to ruminate and think about, I need a guy. They got guys. I need one. Any updates?
I will be presenting a short list for your for you to accept or design.
No,
the whole
it's
thing.
Not. Whoa, no. It's your guy.
I know how
I
this will work.
I got a guy.
But I will be on Thursday announcing a short list of candidates.
Okay, well, that's. Good. I'm glad I can talk to you before this because there was a guy that came to mind
that might
be one of your guys.
I got a guy that does this. Hey. I got a guy that does that.
Because he's relatively under the radar. He's on the Browns, which is a team that you focus on. And his name is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. But he was really one of the lead guys on my Making the Leap this year. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, who's a very well-known player.
The second-round pick.
But I've really been pumping him up for a long time, made him sort of a centerpiece of the Making the Leap. So if that was someone Mark was considering.
He's out.
He can't
First
be
of all, I can't
list.
Believe Greg called him under the radar. I mean, he was special last year, and he's becoming even more so now. He's been hurt a little bit here and there. But, I mean... you can have him, Greg. If this is what fuels you, there are clearly voids in other aspects of your life. If this is what you need, you can have it.
We're talking about hitting out. Now he's going to other aspects.
Know why this is so important to you.
The updated list: Talanoa Hufanga, safety, San Francisco. Give me the music. Tariq Woolen, cornerback, Seattle. Jack Jones, cornerback, New England. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, linebacker, Cleveland. Off the board. With more to come.
That's fine.
That's just a tease. Speaking of a tease, Washington and Chicago. The Commanders and the Bears play on Thursday Night Football this week. Hold on to your Jim Gray butt because we got a command off. A command off. Because we know Carson Wentz is getting ready to take command. Wow, very newsy show. But listen to Matt Eberflus. Just today on Justin Fields.
The guys are just getting used to it. You know, you can feel Justin, you know, comfortable where he is right now in the offense. He's taking command.
Oh!
Right on time.
And now
excited to really go ahead and start to take command.
We have Commanders Bears in primetime, two quarterbacks taking command. Who will fully grasp what they're
They should have Dan on the pregame show to unveil.
It's a command off, baby.
Like, they could do the funny graphics, they could show the thing, maybe you could be on a boat. I don't know.
Anyway, Washington at Chicago. And a reminder, this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. Mark, your thoughts on this ballgame?
If anything, I think Justin Fields is coming off his best game. I don't know what that means week to week for the Bears, but passing-wise, I thought he looked better than he had in the past. There's nothing around him. I mean, the number one receiver on the Bears has 10 receptions. No one else has more than 9. They've had games where he's had, you know, 7, 8, 9 completions. The game against the Giants was a hot mess. But I thought Fields played better last week. He had like a 52-yard run that was erased by penalty, where you kind of see what Justin Fields can do in the open field. I mean, really, to me, in maybe a better system, would be a better quarterback. I don't know. They don't have a good line in front of them. I don't have a lot of like hopes that if the Commanders got hot, because I feel like they've been really streaky. They've had a quarter or two where if they get buried early and then Wentz has to bring them back, you can see what Washington's offense is capable of. And I would give this – I think Washington basically for Ron Rivera needs to do this to save their season. They are in hot water if they fell in this one. And this is a sitting duck Bears team potentially on offense. I mean, if Washington falls here – you are talking about the floor falling out.
And yet I'm really struggling to pick this game just because I feel like the Bears have a little something that the Commanders don't have. Like, if this game is close, and it probably will be at the end, I can just imagine the Bears pulling out an ugly win and feeling good about themselves, and the Commanders finding
they almost
a way,
did against Minnesota.
Right, finding a way to lose. The Bears protected Justin Fields incredibly well against Minnesota. Makes me wonder a little about that Minnesota defense. I mean, Justin Fields was cooking steaks back there, Dan.
Cooking steaks and packing cake.
Doing math. I don't know. There's been a lot of phrases for getting great pass protection. But he needs it because no one holds the ball longer or takes longer to make a decision to throw the ball than Justin Fields right now. But he did throw the ball pretty well. And like Mark said, I think if you can just get his legs a little more involved, he's led them in rushing a couple times lately.
Good tidbit here from the NFL research team. The Commanders pressure QBs on the highest percentage of dropbacks of any team in the league. And by the way, did you happen to see Montez Sweat and what he was doing in that game on Sunday? He was all over the Titans. And who were they? It was the back. It was the left tackle that replaced Taylor Lewan, correct?
Yes, Dennis Daly.
Yeah, he was having a hard time of it.
He should change his name to Dennis Snapley because he was getting beat on that. That's how often he was getting beat.
Untoward?
No. Oh,
it's a human being.
Our other producer, Drew, is actually leaving the studio now. He took off his headset, and he's leaving. People are booing, getting the thumbs down.
Even Sean Kelly's giving you the thumbs down. That's the most positive man in the world. Oh, Drew did come back. That's good. Yes, Dennis Daly was getting hammered by Montez Sweat.
I'm shocked that the Washington Commanders have the highest pressure rate in the league because they haven't been a good defense. It hasn't, like, added up to be an
average. And Chase Young's not there yet.
Right, that was the thing with the Rivera quote was like, oh, quarterback's in our way. Your team had one of the worst defenses in the league a year ago, and you're below average in every possible metric this year, too. And you're a defensive coach. So it's not just the quarterback.
Yeah, it's a tough game to pick. It is the, according to the power rankings, 29-30, and it's coming off the Colts-Broncos game. So
Al's not happy.
Al ain't happy. Well, maybe we'll be surprised, though.
I think the NFL's sweating, too, thinking.
But Fields is – I feel like Fields is the – because we know Wentz has this ability to get hot, and we saw what he did with Dyami Brown connecting on two long –
I mean, he threw for like 350
yeah,
and a couple
did,
right. beautiful
359
long,
and two long
he has
touchdowns.
Three games of 300-plus with multiple touchdowns. It's not that he's not productive.
So let's sell this one. Let's sell this one, baby. The Commanders can score points. Carson Wentz can potentially create a scenario where they score 25 to 30 points. And Justin Fields, like we've been saying, coming off his best game with some confidence, a little bit of swag. Maybe we end up getting a game that's fun to watch to make up for what happened last Thursday.
Two desperate teams.
It won't be worse. I will guarantee it. It'll be better than last
Thursday. Oh, it cannot be worse. That was one of the worst games I've ever watched last week.
I agree. It's a big – I don't know if you can be a cornered commander.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can be. You're bad.
Because they're cornered right now. Mark's right. This feels like a –
world history is filled with corner like commanders that eventually were cornered.
I don't know about line in the sand, if that's the right word, but if they fall to 1-5 and losing in Chicago in an island game, maybe their only island game all year, it's going to get ugly.
That there's no overt plan Ron Rivera can point to as a commander at that point.
And a reminder, you can watch this game on mobile with NFL Plus. There you go. All right. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. Let's finish the show by, yes, we have been talking about this off air for weeks, I feel like. We even, in a what would have been a reckless decision, almost made it a segment during our live show in London at the O2 Forum before thinking better of it.
We were jet lagged.
Yes, we were not at the top of our game mentally at that point. But Sunday, we teased it. It is finally time to play Frisky or Spicy.
Spicy. Feeling kind of frisky.
Justin's really pumped up back there today. I like it. He brought the A effort.
What is that from, Justin?
Do not know.
Oh, so he did not. B he effort. Did not. Someone B else effort. Is working
I
very hard.
I directed Eric to find sounds, and
the
Eric
great
did a great
Eric
job.
Roberts.
Well, Eric did an excellent job.
Would you call him Eric Daily? Would Eric Weekly?
Oh,
Snapply?
Ouch.
Snapply.
I would call him Eric Awesome.
Wait, a question for you. Because we just like, basically.
Justin, why don't we turn off the mic for a while, bud?
Snapply.
We give Justin credit for it. Would he have broken in to say, actually, I didn't do that. One of my coworkers did. He was silent until.
Justin, you know I love you, but let's go quiet for a little bit and just think about some stuff.
Kind of frisky.
Frisky. Yeah. What is frisky? What is spicy? That is the question. I'll give my definition as I give my first team. I think frisky is a team that is annoying. They're a team that you look at your schedule in week one and you go, that's back pocket win. And then that team starts the season and you notice that the teams that are supposed to be handling them are struggling to defeat them. Sometimes they don't even beat them. So the Atlanta Falcons, to me, are an example of a frisky team. I don't think they're spicy because I don't think they're ready to make that leap to being a team that's really fighting for a playoff spot or giving anyone a scare in the NFC South. But at the same time, I believe them to be a team that's going to be a tough opponent week after week. Frisky, the Falcons.
I feel like they are the textbook definition of frisky, especially the way that you described it. I do see a scenario, though, and I'll have to find out who would come up and fit this scenario. That you could be spicy, even if you aren't that good, or even if you have no chance to make the playoffs. Somehow there's a level to the interest, and there's a team in my mind where you are spicy, even if you're not like great at football. Even if you're gonna finish 7-10, you could be spicy just because you're so darn tasty. You know what I mean?
Share it.
Well, what's the
okay?
The
I
team?
Think I think the Seahawks are spicy. Because, yes, the Seahawks are frisky in a way. To me, they're more spicy. And that doesn't mean I think they're going to go to the playoffs, but they're like the number one offense in the league right now. I mean, you don't get much more spicy than a Geno Smith, big-time throw or a Geno Smith, like, press conference answer. To me, they are very spicy. You don't get much more spicy with an over 70 zaddy than Pete Carroll. Like, they're spicy. And it doesn't mean they're good. They're just
I disagree
spicy.
With that just because my definition is different. You're not spicy unless you're really sending some shockwaves out there and you have a chance to make some big noise. Like for me, the Cowboys are spicy.
Okay.
The Cowboys are a team that they exceeded past frisky, and now they are a team that has a defense that's given up one touchdown in each of the first 5 weeks, that has big-time playmakers both in the front and the back end on defense, and yes, have Dak Prescott waiting in the wings, getting healthy as the team wins. They are spicy to me. Different than frisky.
I completely am with you with the Falcons. I'm with you on the Cowboys. The Seahawks is frisky, but I also see another team that's frisky because I think frisky is less embedded. There's a newness to it. It's kind of like you've had a crazy night out. You left your credit card at the bar. You've given your social security number to a band of teen robbers. You don't know what could happen.
Right.
And the world is new for you suddenly. And that is my frisky team, the New York Jets. Where we were 3 weeks ago, same old Jets. You got Joe Flacco out there getting his butt kicked. Then suddenly there's that inciting incident. The win over Cleveland was something that came so far from the wilderness and was so improbable that it kind of changed everything that happened for the Jets. Then suddenly, in comes Zach Wilson to complement the rest of this rookie class. The 10 years from now, you might look at this rookie class and say, everything changed. Now you got Robert Saleh, suddenly not a zombie on the sideline, staring at the grass. He's starting to pump his fists, and they're going to go play Green Bay. And you could go from frisky to spicy, just like a last New York team did. If you go into Green Bay and you handle your business, Zach Wilson, in his own way, maybe not numbers-wise, but leads an offense and outduels a depressing Packers team, that's how the Jets flip the switch.
I mean, depressing feels a little bit strong.
They are depressing to me.
But here is – we are right church, different pew on that, because I do think the Jets are right there. A win in Lambeau sends them to spicy territory.
I would say that too,
spicy town.
But – I don't think they're frisky right now. They've graduated into this world in between. The Jets are feisty right now. The Jets are...
Wait, well, so it's frisky, spicy, or feisty?
There's a feisty, and the Jets are... They qualify in this weird, like, netherworld of where they are. They were on frisky. They moved to feisty. Now they got the blinker on, and they're ready to turn on to Spicy Boulevard. All they got to do is beat Aaron Rodgers. And I just got to say, This is the best possible outcome for this Jets season. And I'm even saying any of this right now.
Right, because we're 4 weeks removed from you making fun of Robert Saleh and like being annoyed at the answers he was giving.
Making
in press
fun
conference.
Of Robert Saleh. No, I was
remember those
frustrated.
Answers.
I worry for you.
I worry for you now, putting too much brightness on them. Like, just now suddenly you're ready to take them and put them in a category above all the other teams we're talking about to some degree.
Yeah, we were mocking the receipts. We were kind of mocking that,
right.
Like that he was being annoyed by the question.
Absolutely, I was.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And so I'm confused, though, because feisty to me would be lower than frisky.
Yeah,
so,
I'd rather hang out with frisky than feisty.
Feisty to me is just like, hey, you might pop up in a given week and you're not, you know, you're not a doormat.
Right.
Like, the Bears, if they win this week especially, but the Bears, to me, have shown some feistiness. They're not frisky. Then they're definitely not spicy.
See, I'm with
Greg
on this.
But if they get to 3-3...
I think it's, again, this is a segment where you let it flow through you.
Yeah, it does.
And for me, there is a world in between frisky and spicy, and for that, it's feisty. Now, you guys have a different
view. They're clearly frisky at the very least.
Oh, they are absolutely.
They're beyond
frisky. I believe they've graduated from frisky after yesterday, but Sunday. But even then...
Wait.
To Mark's point, maybe I got to calm down a little bit. Maybe the Dolphins
playing with a third-string quarterback.
Like, I want to ask a question about the Cowboys. I know it's circling back, but I think it gets to the heart of frisky and feisty and spicy and all the things. What does expectation have to do with the term? And what does sort of the team's history have to do with the terms? Because the Cowboys are 16-6 in their last two seasons. You know, they won 12 games last year. They are America's team. They're nobody's underdog. Yes, they've been playing with a
big
backup.
Big Zaddy energy.
They've been playing with a backup quarterback.
I'll just say this. We're nobody's underdog.
Yeah. Right.
Stop it.
Can I answer your question, Greg?
I think that gets to feisty. But to me, they're sort of not – they're not frisky because they're the Cowboys.
I don't think that they belong in this exercise because they are – they were the – I know the Eagles have bubbled up, but they spent much of the offseason as a division favorite. They were a playoff team a year ago. And they don't fit with the rest of the teams we're kind of talking about here, where they kind of they're not coming from the wilderness. They're the most on-brand advertised team out there with that somehow is. I mean, if Cooper Rush were to be their quarterback the rest of the year, I'd stick him into this.
I mean, they were on this podcast anyway, mostly buried as an afterthought.
Over under
10.5
wins, 7th in the NFL coming into
really,
the year.
But they're not an unknown. We're talking about teams that are like,
but maybe
overachieving.
A good team can be.
So we're no,
but things, maybe a good team can be frisky.
Right, and things changed from even August. What you're saying, Mark? Like when Dak went down, everybody. And I mean everybody said they were done. Every single person on this network and elsewhere said, oh, the cat, look how bad they looked in the first place in week one against the Bucks. And then Dak broke his thumb, and now we got Cooper Rush coming in here. They are cooked. And guess what? They weren't cooked. So that, because they got knocked down into like this, their cooked status, they, to me, get into this bucket, and they are absolutely spicy.
They are spicy. If we want to shove them into one of these categories,
spicy for the most part.
It's spicy, but they also have a Super Bowl level defense, and there's no other team that we're talking about here with anything like that on either side of
the
ball.
Wait, what was that, Mark?
Spicy. If you're spicy, you're just spicy. Spicy food stays spicy for the most part. Did I actually say that?
Yeah, that was not a cut-up thing. That was just the word spicy.
You, my God.
This season especially, Mark, I could always count on you. If I'm feeling a little bit self-conscious, like maybe I shouldn't bring up the Jets. Mark, you will bring up the Jets this year. So I'll bring up the Browns. And they are frisky to me. And this is like they're frisky in a frustrating way because of everything. Their three losses have been super annoying. But you don't go into Cleveland or welcome Cleveland in and think, oh, we're just going to walk over these guys, because they will give you a game. They have Nick Chubb, who, by the way, I understand the way a game plays out. And I understand Jake Brisket's been playing really well this season. But how does Nick Chubb only have 17 carries on Sunday? This guy can't be tackled.
Well, because so many of them just like ended in the end zone, so that drive. But I see what you're saying.
He should
that
be getting
was part
the ball.
Of it. Was he like ended the chance for more carries by going for 40 yards?
But I'm saying he had half the amount of touches that Brissett had throws in this game, and it's just like, or carries, I should say. But anyway, I think the Browns are frisky.
You said frustrating, and I made a category for them. Frustrating to bizarre levels, because I don't find them frisky.
That's really outside the bounds of this segment,
but you created okay. Feisty? That wasn't that.
That's just within the bounds. It's got a Y at the end.
Well, you're going to decide everything.
It also fits in the lower third graphically on the YouTube show.
I don't think
frisky, feisty.
I don't
spicy.
Think they're frisky.
Can we work on something for the lower third for Mark's category?
Frustrating to bizarre levels.
I don't think they're frisky when you can count on them to blow it. The reason the Jets are
I'm
in this
you.
Category, or we're even talking about the Jets, is because of the Browns. The reason we're talking about the Falcons is because they ran for 202 yards on the Browns.
But I can count on them to blow it. Like the Lions, who I think are frisky, it was they were
the
until
Lions
Sunday.
Don't fit into any of these categories.
Before Sunday, they did.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not now.
Okay,
but, right,
I don't think the Browns fit.
I'm not burying the Lions off one terrible offensive performance.
I mean, they're 1-5. Do they strike you as frisky or spicy, the Lions?
They're frisky.
I think they're frisky. I think they'll get back to frisky.
Think of their entire team makeup before Sunday.
Go win a game.
But you don't have to win to be frisky. You can just be meddlesome.
I mean, at some point, being 1-7, you're not frisky. They're a mess right now.
Okay, the Browns don't fit, and I think they're a great team to talk about in this exercise.
Thank you for saying that.
Now I have to stop after every line because AI Mark speaks about everything.
The points are always good.
Yeah, no, they really are. I can't really explain why, but the Browns don't fit. I mean, it might be partly because they made a loathsome transaction this offseason that made me not root for them in general. But I also would say the way they've played this season is not frisky, feisty, or spicy. They've just been a surprisingly great offense that is dumb and finds ways to lose. So I don't find that
frisky. Sounds frisky to me.
That doesn't sound frisky, feisty, or spicy. That just sounds like disappointing, to Mark's point.
What was your category, Mark?
Frustrating to bizarre levels.
I got
to
say, I think that's where
because
I put them.
Because here's the thing.
They just seem like an annoying team to me because they're not living up to their potential.
They should be 4-1.
Living up to their potential, Greg, you had buried this team as having basically no chance to contend.
Newsflash, I was incredibly wrong in that preseason analysis, like I was about many teams, like we all are. You could see within a week or two, they were not a bottom five team. They do feel like they should be 4-1,
right,
and that there's some bad juju going on.
Well, there's also Jacoby Brissett, three interceptions, such leading directly to three losses.
But it's weird because he's kind of like the poor man's Geno this year. He ranks in the top six or seven in
just
basically
three terrible throws that have really messed up.
Honestly, if you took those three throws away, I guarantee they're 4-1, maybe 5-0.
Yeah, I think I had a little higher hopes for the Browns hanging around before the season, so this feels like who they were. It's just but you're right. The way they've lost the games makes it harder, but I just think they are frisky. They're like, don't mess with the Browns. Don't sleep on the Browns.
Okay. So you
need some wins.
You guys put the
the
Seahawks in Frisky. Fix your defense a little, and then they can really get
– what about the Patriots? The Browns play the Patriots this week, and I think in a Frisky Bowl.
I mean, yeah, I think the Patriots are clearly Frisky, maybe even feisty. Okay, they go to Green Bay. They lose their backup quarterback immediately. That thing goes to overtime. They beat the team of ATL in a shutout.
Another frisky team, according to you.
With a third-string quarterback. And the week before that, they're going back and forth with the Ravens in like a weird offensive shootout where they actually have a lead late in that game.
Yeah.
To me, they're very frisky because they don't really seem like a good team.
I agree.
But you don't know – you don't want them on your schedule.
They're definitely not spicy.
No.
I think the reason I hesitated is because my frisky category – Jets, Browns, Falcons, Seahawks, Lions, they're all teams that they've been kind of fun to watch, and they entertain you even if they don't always win. I can't say that I've enjoyed watching the Patriots this season, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying. There are definitely boxes that are being checked here.
They might be
here.
More feisty, actually.
They could be feisty.
They're feisty.
I like that.
Bill Belichick in his press conferences is feisty.
Patriots are feisty.
That's good.
They're not fun to watch, so you're right. I think frisky better be, what are we doing calling something frisky if there's no enjoyment attached to it?
I think Massachusetts people in general are feisty. I didn't realize that growing up. I just thought that's how everyone was. And then I was just like, nope, me and all my friends are jerks. That's just what happens.
But you extend friendship to each other, so there is some warmth.
Can you cut that as a drop moving forward? Thank you. All right, any other thoughts? I've shared all of mine.
I got to say, I think
do we have the Giants? Giants are spicy.
I have Giants are spicy. Yeah, they're spicy.
I don't even –
Oh, please, Greg.
They're frisky.
You know, why is it with you and the Giants? Why can't you just
– I just think they're frisky.
Give me some pop.
There are a lot of teams that start out fast and end up with 8 wins, and those to me are frisky teams. And I still kind of think that's where the Giants are headed, but we'll see.
And Mark, you
–
Oh, that's from the live show. Yeah. Oh, my God. Mark, your category, one more time, can I have it? Because I know one more team that belongs in the Browns category.
Nope, which is where I put the Lions. Or if you want frustrating to bizarre levels,
right.
Browns and Raiders, because we talked to Raiders.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Raiders as well.
I know the Raiders, to me, they're not. Last night was a night. 2 weeks ago, they ran the ball a ton. I kind of like that. Last night, had they pulled that off, we're talking about something at that point. Because
right.
They're close. They're close. But right now, I can't really put them into frisky or spicy. I don't want to watch them every week necessarily.
I kind of like watching them. You know, they made the Broncos look interesting for 1 week. That was the most watchable Broncos game. They have found a way to lose insane games to the Titans, the Cardinals, and the Chiefs. But they're not far away. They're certainly the best 1-4 team in the NFL.
All right.
That's not a bold
statement. My last thing, because I want to give them, it's the team of around the NFL. It's been a rough go since we named them that. But I just want to go through the 5 weeks. And I understand Sunday was terrible. 38-35 loss to the Eagles, who are 5-0. 36-27 win over Washington. 28-24 loss to Minnesota, 4-1. 48-45 shootout loss to Geno MVP and the Seahawks. Before a meltdown in New England, and they are hardly the first team to go up to New England and get humbled by getting just outcoached and lose 29-0. I think there's enough there to give them frisky status.
So they have their bye week, okay?
Good
they
timing
come out of
for it.
They go to Dallas, a team that's not going to give up 45 points while they score 45. So I'm saying if they fall to 1-5 against the Cowboys. And then you've got the Packers and other.
But it matters how they play. It's not just whether they win
all
or
right.
lose.
But at some point, so if they were 1-8, but they're losing games 38-39, you're still frisky
yeah.
with them.
To me.
Okay.
But that's my – I don't need them to be winning a lot of games to be frisky.
Think,
frisky
you know
could
what?
Also be like a gnat, just like
I,
out
I,
of the
I
way.
I don't think they're going to give up. Dan Campbell and this staff, I'm going to believe that they're going to come out of this bye week clawing their frisky.
I think the Patriots game hurt me because I wondered if this offensive journey that they've been on was more of an aberration than who they are week after week, but they didn't have DeAndre Swift, so I will extend more time to them. I don't think they care that I'm doing that, but we'll see what happens.
Actually, they're right now piped
they're
in
like,
listening.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, we got an extension. All right, there it is. I don't know, was that What was going on there, Gravedigger? Come on back, because I know you've been in kind of timeout. Some of your bits didn't land earlier today. But did that make any sense? That segment?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, I will say I agree with you, Dan, on the feisty being between frisky and spicy.
There we go. There we go.
And I don't think it has anything to do with the definition. It just kind of sounds like a combination of frisky and spicy
but you
together.
Said the Patriots are feisty, but that they're not frisky. So it's very confusing.
Well, no, you
maybe it's not leveling up for you. It's just different diagram worlds.
You kind of won me over on the frisky thing with the pets a little bit. I was more hung up initially on like the they're not like exciting or fun to watch.
No.
But,
well, let's be real. We keep getting caught in logic traps with this.
It's a
with
tough
this.
One.
And so
it's
you just have to say yes. I think you won me over with that last thing you said.
Bailey Zappi, he's frisky. He's feisty.
He's feisty.
People in New England need to calm down with like, hey, let's start this Zappi kid. They're
he's
just
not
like,
spicy.
They're
though.
Hungry for a quarterback controversy.
Is that his birth
Give
name?
Me a break.
I feel like that's a name that he at some point gave to himself.
Bailey?
I don't know.
Zappi. Bailey Zappi.
All right. So I think we covered a lot in today's show. We touched on the DJ feud, and we don't need to go on any further because that just gives them something interesting to talk about on their show. So we'll just leave it where it is.
It fuels them.
Yeah. We talked about everything in the news. Mark needs a guy update. We have a development coming up on Thursday. You said there.
If I remember,
Dan and I really had an ugly source battle related to the Chargers.
That was
not pleasant. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And then frisky, spicy, feisty, and the other category.
Disappointing or whatever.
Frustrating to a bizarre level or something like that.
And then the TNF preview, we've covered a lot. We've said it all. Mark, you get the final word today.
I love you both.
Wow.
That was not a sound drop. Do you believe it?
I do.
Same. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.